Hello, it's Hannah Gelbart here. If you have listened to What in the World before, welcome back. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Wherever you are in the world, the chances are that you are plugged into or near electricity. I mean, whatever you're listening to this on is surely powered by it. But what if that power cuts off, or if you're forced to spend days and days without it? That's the frustrating reality for many people in Sierra Leone right now, including Fatmata Gassim, who is a 19-year-old engineering student.
Sometimes it's difficult saying you're from Sierra Leone. There are so many things wrong with it, especially electricity. Like, you just wake up one morning and poof, there's no... I mean, how do you iron your clothes? How do you make your food? How do you go to sleep? Because we actually do pay our electricity bill. So I don't see any reason why we should be forced to live like this.
So what's going on here, and why have these blackouts become so bad? Stay with us, we're going to explain. And it's not just Sierra Leone that's having issues. We're also going to hear about what's going on in Ghana and Nigeria, and why people have been hanging out in their cars. First, let's get some background from someone who has been covering Sierra Leone's power issues. I'm speaking to BBC journalist Chimetie Uchiagbu, who is in Lagos, Nigeria. Hi, Chimetie.
Hi, Anna.
So we're talking about energy and power in Sierra Leone. What is power access like at the moment for people who are in Freetown and elsewhere in the country?
So generally in Sierra Leone, you don't have 24 hours power supply. You know, it's never been all rosy and smooth and all power all day, every day. No, you could get like 12 hours power or less, but at least there was power. Speaking to people in Sierra Leone, in Freetown, since Monday, some of them have not had a blink of power in their house. So they have to go strictly by generators. And if you don't have generators, you are either going to your neighbor's house or you are stuck in complete darkness and total blackouts. So in other places, like cities like Bo and Kenema, where you have another power company providing them power, some of them still get a little bit of light, a little bit of power, but it's still worse than it used to be.
So it's normal to have only 12 hours or so of access to electricity a day, but what you're seeing now, it's a different scenario.
Yes, it's a completely different scenario and way worse than it used to be.
How is it affecting people?
I had a conversation with a friend. He's a filmmaker based in Sierra Leone. And he told me that for him to edit his work, he relies only on his laptop, because if he puts his work on a desktop, they keep messing it up. Either the generator is going off or the fuel in the generator is exhausted. And they just keep losing their work and having to start over.
Let's hear a bit more from Fatmata Gassim, who you heard at the start, about how these blackouts affect her.
I am a student and I study in engineering, civil engineering. I'm in my second year. This problem happened before the first semester exams, and we have to study. We fully depend on the internet. Hence, it comes to us having PDFs to study. I find it very easy to study at night. So if there's no electricity at night, I can't study. For some areas, especially the western areas, it's like limited to, say, 2 to 3 hours per day. They gave us electricity over the night. Like, we had it all through the night. But then this morning they took it and we don't know when it will be back. I have a friend who says he doesn't even know the last time he saw the bulb on. It's been over like a week and some days. He sometimes comes to my house to charge some of his appliances, like his laptop, his phones and other stuff he uses to study.
There are people, hotels, there are restaurants that are relying heavily on running generators, and that is impacting heavily on their run-on costs and how much they spend to run their businesses. Imagine like a barbershop that relies solely on power to be able to do their businesses. These businesses are being crippled. Someone made a comedy video, someone carrying a generator and hawking it, you know, like, bring your phone, I'll charge it for you. You just have to pay a certain amount of money, and he was walking on the street. Of course, it's just for laughs, but that's what the situation is at the moment.
Where does Sierra Leone get its power from in the first place, and how has it all gone so wrong?
So the thing is, there are three major sources of power supply in Sierra Leone. There's the Car Powership, which is a Turkish company. And Car Powership is a huge company in the world, right? It's a Turkish company that has a plant that supplies major part of Freetown power. Okay, then there is CSLG. It's an Ivorian company that supplies another part of Sierra Leone. Then there's the third source, which is the state-owned hydroelectric dam that is located in the northern town of Bumbuna. Car Powership produces about 60 megawatts of electricity that powers majority of Freetown. As it is right now, they produce as low as 6 megawatts.
A tenth of the supply. And why is all of this, why has it all gone so wrong? How has this happened?
The issue is about they are being owed a lot of money. The government is owing them as much as about £38 million. They cut their power supply because of the debts.
This is Car Powership.
Yes, Car Powership. And even CSLG is being owed as well. It's just that their own supply actually has also reduced from about 32 megawatts that they used to supply to about 10. So because of the debts, they have decided to stop. It's like a business transaction. You owe me money, you either pay up and I render the services I'm supposed to render to you, or I take my services. And this is what is going on right now.
Why has the government not been able to pay?
The issue is actually that the government is not even coming out to say this is the problem. They're not being straightforward with people. And people are looking at it as lack of leadership, and no one is telling them exactly what the situation is, because they have not come out to address or maybe make a statement and say this is the reason this is happening, or this is the reason it's not happening. The last time I checked, even the finance minister was out of the country while the whole thing is happening. So they're not even talking about it.
It sounds like a really difficult situation to be in, to not be able to see physically in the darkness, but also not to be able to see when the end of this is coming or how it might be resolved. And it's not just Sierra Leone that's suffering with power issues at the moment. You're in Nigeria, which also has some problems. What's going on there?
So the Nigerian situation is different from Sierra Leone in that we don't have a total blackout. I have power. The only issue is that the government has decided to remove the subsidy that used to be on electricity. And for instance, my electricity bill monthly used to be about 40,000 naira a month. And that should be about $30 to $40 every month. But now the 40,000 naira, it's now lasts me for 7 days.
So your electricity bill's gone up by 4 times?
Yes.
And part of that's to do with inflation in Nigeria, am I right?
Yes, that's to do with inflation, and that's to do with the subsidy on electricity that was removed. So the National Electricity Regulatory Commission has said that for electricity tariffs to be reduced, the government has to pay 1.14 trillion naira as subsidy for electricity in Nigeria. That's over $100 million.
Chimezie, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much, Hannah.
There have also been issues in Ghana. Favour Nuno is our reporter there.
Well, access to power today in Ghana is characterised by chronic outages. Most people are in darkness for about 8 to 24 hours. On Thursday, my power was cut sometime around 8 a.m. in the morning and was restored around 5 p.m. However, by 9:30, 10 p.m., the light was taken, and I've been in darkness all the way through up until 1:37 a.m. And so I'm recording this podcast from my vehicle using the vehicle's charging system to at least sustain my battery to be able to send this through. And this experience resonates with almost all Ghanaians. Individuals have expressed concerns about how they have had to sometimes sleep in their cars and have their ACs on, because there's also a heat wave that is happening, and so it's really hot when the power goes off. The Electricity Company of Ghana this year embarked on a revenue mobilization drive where they were going in after households and institutions who owe them utility bills because they really need money to get the lights on. So, for instance, the Parliament of Ghana, who are the lawmakers, were owing the Electricity Company of Ghana a whopping $1.8 million, and so ECG, who is the power company, turned off lights in Parliament. That made big news. However, the light was restored only after Parliament paid part of these debts. So in terms of the cause of the power outages, it actually comes down to the lack of finances on the part of government. Government actually needs to buy gas from foreign suppliers in order to be able to power its thermal plants to generate electricity for consumers. However, the lack of finances means that there is not enough gas that will power these plants in order to generate the needed electricity for consumers. So, to fix it, government needs to raise $400 million to resolve the power outages.
Now, you might be wondering if this is all somehow connected, and it kind of is. All of these countries rely on gas to fuel their power stations and generate electricity, and they buy that gas in their local currencies. Now, these are not doing well at the moment compared to a very strong US dollar. That, as well as high inflation, makes the price of gas really expensive for them. And that means that governments and institutions are finding it harder to pay their bills. And then electricity companies are reducing the supply. I want to end with Irene Lee. She's 23 and she works for a company in Freetown called Easy Solar. At a time when the price of fossil fuels is high, and we know how they impact the climate, there's a clear opportunity for businesses developing renewable energy solutions.
One of the incredible things about solar power is that it is an abundant resource in Sierra Leone that is available every day. This means that during the recent blackout, over 150,000 homes powered by Easy Solar had light that remained on, kept their food cold, and continued to watch their favorite TV program. We had businesses that didn't have to dig into their pockets to burn liters of fuel to keep their operations running. We have seen a surge in demand, and we are continuously working to bring solar solutions that address the growing need, especially in times of blackout.
That's it from us at What in the World from the BBC World Service. I'm Hannah Gelbart. It's been great to have you with us. I'll see you next time. Bye.